Hi, this is Candace Michelle, and you're listening to another segment of Our Community. Today, I'm joined once again by Kelly Hansen, dog handler and trainer extraordinaire, to chat some more about our favorite family members, our dogs. Hi, Kelly, and welcome back to the show.
Hi, Candace. It's lovely to be here, and I like the extraordinaire part.
You are extraordinary,
wow.
Woman.
Thank you for that. I'll take it.
All right. So the last time when we had you on, we talked a little bit about reactive dogs and how to navigate those issues either with your own pet or with dogs that you come across when you're out walking your own dog. We also touched on puzzles and stimuli for our four-leggeds. And I think with the rain coming down today, it's kind of underscores how important having some kind of diversion for them is. I also wanted to do just a very quick update on my dog, Cola, because we had a slight setback in the ramp training.
Uh-oh.
And it was, I know, but it was entirely my fault. What a shock, right? Because I was trying to hurry the learning process. And you'd think I would know by now that you don't hurry somebody's learning, but it's like, I don't know, whatever. So clearly it was a bit of a problem, but I think that a lot of people don't really understand either how much patience is involved in making a dog, you know, part of our family, or they find themselves wanting to cut corners the way I did, which is not a good thing. It does not work. I'm here to tell you, it does not work. And that brings me to your new addition to your family.
Ta-da!
You have a puppy!
Yeah.
Tell me about this creature.
Well, you know, it wasn't entirely planned. It's one of the first times in my life that, or our lives, that we introduced another dog or puppy into the family without long consideration. Mm-hmm. We've been to breeders before where there's a whole protocol of getting a puppy from a breeder. Lots of paperwork and interviews, and when it's done, I think, the right way. Mm-hmm. This little baby, my sister was fostering a female who was pregnant, and she came from a high-kill shelter in California somewhere. Mm-hmm. So my sister is a part of this rescue group, and my sister has the facilities, so the bitch came and whelped 9 puppies.
Wow.
Oh my gosh.
Wow.
Yeah.
And when you say bitch, I mean, I just want to make sure our listeners understand that that is not a pejorative term. That is literally the term for a female dog.
That's correct. I apologize if anybody was offended by my
but
language.
That literally is the word for a female dog. Yeah.
And this one, this mommy was not even that. Her temperament wasn't even close to being that word.
Right.
The sweetest thing since, oh my gosh, she's delightful. So anyway.
Nine puppies.
My sister, the handling, just the way that she is raising these babies was just perfect. Mm-hmm. Lots of socialization, lots of handling, just doing it the right way across the board. I help her in her business and help to train her employees and her other trainers. So yeah, I was up there a couple weeks ago, and she named one after me. Dang her!
Oh
and
no!
And so I said, "So where's Kelly?" She said, "Oh, well, she's right behind you." Oh dear God! It was the second I saw her, and it was just this connection. So it was very odd that it wasn't a long, a long decision between my husband and I. It just happened when I saw her. Now, there were, from the time I saw her to the time we took her home, was about a week and a half, about that. So there was, I was there for 5 days, and I saw her, and I, you know, was really considering my feelings and what it was going to be like at home and how my other dogs were going to behave and my husband. And I mean, I have to consider where I'm going to be in 15 years, physically, mentally, where I'm going to live in that whole time. So I really did a lot of soul searching, and my heart just went out.
It's funny about that, isn't it? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I have about 5 days to consider this dog, and my heart told me it was the right thing to do. So I made arrangements with my sister and filled out the application because I still had to.
Aww.
And jump through those hoops, and because she does it the right way. And this puppy's been with us for a week and 1 day so far.
And her name now is?
Well, golly.
Not Kelly, right? Here, Kelly.
Well, it's, you know, I honestly didn't have a problem with that. That's one of the hardest things for me to figure out is a dog's name. Lots of people don't have that problem, I guess. But for me, it means something.
Yes.
I want to know the animal, and and I want to say the animal's name, and it respond.
Yes.
And oh my gosh, the list was so long until one day I was just like, me, 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 Mia. And she turned around, what? I guess your name's Mia.
I love that.
Oh, yes. That's how she got her name.
That's great.
She kind of told me what it was.
Yeah. I had a dog once that did that. We'd gotten him from a shelter, and I don't know what they said his name was, but it just wasn't that, right? Mm-hmm. And one day, somehow, Boris came out of my mouth.
Lovely.
Right? Boris?
And
he was on board with Boris.
Right on.
Yeah.
And they fit their name really. I knew it. We talked one of the last times in a puppy named Trouble. You know, considering what the dog's name is, and how you say it, and is it a joyful sound,
yes.
And does the dog respond, and is it something they'll hear at distance?
Right.
That kind of thing. I consider Gwen, but it was like, Gwen, gah! I thought that's too hard to say at distance,
right.
And I thought, oh, me, that kid, I thought that would sound, I don't know, just me
well,
in my crazy
the
head.
The Ia would travel, right?
Well, we'll see.
Hey,
she's responding.
I saw the video last night, and I'm in awe. So anyway, let's start at the beginning because
okay, what do we do?
What is like the first thing when you bring a puppy home?
First thing when you bring a puppy home is I'm going to back up. The first thing you do before you go pick up the puppy is that you make sure you have the areas set up. There should be like a long-term, we call it a long-term confinement area. And that is a baby-gated kitchen or bathroom. I don't like bathrooms so much because I don't really want the puppy to be very far away from where the activity is.
Right.
You're going to be engaging with them a lot. So it would just be a tile floor or a laminate floor. I've even put down a tarp and then put an X pen is, it looks like some steel, finer steel. You can't bend it with your hands. I guess you could if you're real strong. Mm-hmm. But it's basically panels there might be 8 panels and they're not connected. So you can connect them in a circle or in a square, or you could put one end against one part of a wall and the other against another part of the wall. They make them at about 2.5 to 3 feet tall, and then taller ones for larger breeds, but they're very handy. Mm-hmm. So I have an X-Pen area in my kitchen, and I have a bed and her toys and a little water and a pee pad. Hey, people out there, I just found out there are reusable pee pads. You wash them, and so the plastic ones you don't really have to do anymore. It's easy to look it up. You just go online and look up reusable pee pads.
Wow.
They're really great, and ordering went super fast. So now I don't have to, you know, put more plastic in the landfill. So here I have this long-term puppy area, and there's also a little kennel or a crate where she can kind of go in and rest. So I have this area for her that when I'm moving around the house, I can see her. I can see what she's engaged in. It's easy for me to pick her up, or actually I have it set up where there's a little door, so I can open the little door, and my back door is immediately there. So when we come out of the kennel or out of her X-Pen area, we go right outside, because potty training is super important. So one of the things, again, before you bring a puppy home, you have this long-term confinement area already set up. Again, bed, pee pads, water, chewies. Please make sure that your chewies are digestible. None of those twisty toys with the rope ends, with the frayed ends. Always consider what it is that your puppy's chewing on. There's a potential for them to swallow it. So that's why, you know, you don't want toys with little eyes or something. This is like an infant. You need to have eyes on a lot. Especially the way I'm doing it, I don't really want my puppy to get used to using a pee pad. I really want her to know how to ring a bell or just signal me and go outside to do her business. And I can make that happen. I know not everybody can in apartments and condos and that kind of thing, but in this case, it's working for me. So every time she comes out of her kennel or her X-Pen area, we go right outside and we start potty training. I know that's a huge thing for people. We do not want our dogs, puppies using our house as a toilet.
Right.
So considering that, we know that puppies have to pee a lot and they poo quite frequently because of the way that we're feeding them and just because of their bladders and all that stuff. So making sure that you have an area that's set up so that if and when there's accidents, because there's going to be accidents and they're always our fault. They're always, I know there's already been one accident and it's my fault. And we'll talk, I can talk about why that was my fault a little bit later, but it's always our fault. Unless this dog has a urinary tract infection or she can't hold it, or older dogs who have bladder control issues, leakage, that's a different issue. I put this puppy on a feeding, eating schedule, and I know when she has to potty, and it's my mistake. So making Yep. sure, that's another point, making sure we have cleanup supplies. They're right. Nature's miracle breaks down the urine enzyme. Because if you don't clean up that spot on the rug with something that breaks down the enzyme, it still smells like urine to the dog, and they want to go pee where they went pee last time. So, you know, you don't just clean it up with a little bit of soap and water. Consider these products that break down the urine enzyme.
And I've heard that it does take a dog like several months to really get their whole bladder functions under control.
You mean at like months, 3, 4, 5 months old?
Yeah, yeah.
Well, sure, they're growing. I mean, they're developing structurally like humans are, right? And and our musculature to control when right. we have to go and that kind of thing. So we have this confinement area. I talked about chewies, making sure that they're always digestible. And you have a handful of them. I like to have my toys and my treats outside the confinement area. So it's not littered with a bunch of toys that the puppy isn't playing with. I'm giving her a couple. Here's it one chewy, and then here's something else, another soft toy. And when she's done with those, or I take her out, I bring those up, and then I refresh them with new ones, and she's, hey, new stuff. But it's like, well, I only have 3 plush and like 3 chewies. So right. I put them in different combinations, and she's pretty jazzed about the whole thing.
That's great. That's
we are great. Smarter. This is how the beginning
well, we
of
hope
why
we're
smarter.
Smarter
than our dogs.
We hope.
Yeah. You know, one other thing I'd like to mention, I know it's super important, is giving these dogs, puppies and older dogs that we bring into our home, an opportunity to adjust. And I like it to be calm. It's not necessarily the best idea to bring a dog or a puppy home and then have a big party. Because it can be overwhelming to the dog. And we don't, in an older dog, we wouldn't know what their triggers were for fear or anxiety, or even maybe what might make them happy and excited. So I like to give it at least 1 to 3 weeks. My little puppy is, I wouldn't say she's nervous or cautious. She's maybe thoughtful.
Mm-hmm.
She's not just a super gregarious, hey, hi. She wants to think about it just a little bit more personally. I like that that's good for me. So I'm not just going to, I really want to take her to the beach, but I think that would be too much for her. I think some puppies might be perfectly fine with that. We also have to consider vaccines and making sure that your puppy's properly vaccinated. And that the final vaccine typically happens around four months old, I think 4 to 5 months old. Mm-hmm. So I'm very careful where I take her. I don't want there to be a large traffic of other animals because not every animal is vaccinated. And it's a short term, it's a short term to be cautious about where you take your puppy. Because of diseases and other things that they might pick up.
Right.
So,
and that's also true for a newborn baby. I mean, you don't take your newborn out into the middle of a crowd.
Well said.
You know, right?
Right. Sights and sounds, and we need to get used to what the schedules are and who's who. And not to mention, we do have two other dogs. And so they're beginning their relationship, and that's hilarious.
I bet.
It's, geez.
How are they doing with it?
Well, my female is 9, and my male is, my female is 10, my male is 9. They're Cavalier King Charles Spaniels, and their temperaments are like an aloof cat. You know, like, well, is that staying? Okay.
Don't I have a vote, Mom?
And they're fine. Willie my male just looks, my puppy uses her paws gently, but she's she uses her left and right paws, high five, high 10, doing things with her paws is going to be super easy to touch or teach her to do, but she just kind of touches Willie a little bit and he backs off recoils ever so slightly and looks up at me like, you gonna help me with this?
What is this?
And it is our job to promote the older ones.
Of course.
I'm not gonna just go, hey, you know, get used to it. I'm gonna give all my love and attention to this puppy. No, I want my older dogs to know when that puppy's in the room, you guys are getting really great stuff.
Right.
You're gonna get your high value treats. You're going to get a lot of attention because I really want you to think this puppy's okay.
Right.
And I know my dogs are going to be fine with that. If you do happen to have a dog at home that you're not sure about, a lot of dogs will correct a puppy. And they'll correct a puppy if it gets too close to their food or their toy, or sometimes just gets a little bit too close to them. They might use a vocal, they might growl a little bit, they might even air snap at the puppy, which is perfectly, in most cases, that's exactly what's supposed to be happening because those older dogs are teaching the younger dogs about social ability and, you know, about behavior, what's accepted and what isn't, what's appropriate and what isn't.
Right.
So, but there is a fine line. It can, if you haven't ever done it before or seen your dog correct a puppy or another dog, it can be intimidating and you might think, oh my gosh, my dog wants to eat my puppy. And because sometimes puppies will react like, ah, and they'll squeak, squeak, and then you think, oh dear God, and, you know, Jojo ate the puppy. But it's a lot like kids.
It's a laugh a minute.
It's a laugh a minute. But that part can be really challenging for people, and I get that. So caution is really important. Here's a little trick. Introducing a puppy to your dogs when you first get home, it's a good idea to have your puppy either in your arms or on the floor. And I always like to give the puppy butt to the older dogs. Let them sniff the butt because they learn pretty much. There's a lot of information back there.
Amazingly
what's going
enough,
on.
Yeah.
And, you know, who they are and what's going on. So I like to present butt, let them sniff and smell, and then depending on how that goes, we can carry on. But
amazing.
It can be a little tricky. My dogs are super easy with it. So getting back to our confinement area that we have, it's a baby gated area with a floor that you could clean up readily. Mm-hmm. That does indeed include a kennel or a crate because I crate train my dogs. I think that's a really great thing to do. It's for travel. It's for overnight sleeping. It aids in potty training. It keeps them safe in a vehicle. When they feel nervous or afraid, that's a place that they can go. My puppy puts herself to sleep at night. I keep the kennel door open.
Amazing.
She just goes in. She was on the couch last night because that's okay with me. And she was reclined, half asleep. And then she just kind of woke up and stretched a little bit and got off and went in her crate. I was like, really? And the crate's right next to the couch.
Wow.
Woohoo! I got lucky with this one. Thank you very much.
Wow. Well, you know, it might be luck, but I have a feeling it also has a lot to do with the way you train.
Well, I tell you what, you know, when you asked me how I am, I should have said tired. But it's what the work I have to do. I stand up a lot. I'm outside a lot with her because I can. And if you out there can, it's a really good idea that you do. That because this time that you were standing up and keeping a constant, you know, you're a helicopter parent in this.
Right.
You really have to hover, especially with those newbies, because potty training is really important. Not to mention, most puppies are active chewers, and you certainly don't want them chewing on something that you find valuable or could hurt them or harm them. We certainly don't want that. I had a puppy one time start to chew on an electrical cord. She actually, the outer rubber was partially. I just thought, oh my God, left alone.
Yeah,
that exactly. would have been an easy zap. So, making sure that you have eyes on your puppy. What they, you know, sniffing around on the floor probably means they're going to stop and squat. So you see, you know, them playing around, and all of a sudden the play turns into sniffing. I just like to put my hand between their front legs, on their chest, and tuck their little tail and lift from the butt and right outside. And even if they're just starting to pee, you tuck that tail between their back legs and lift them up. And it's, you're not scaring them. You're not saying, bad dog.
Right.
Because you don't want to do that. You want to pick them up really quickly, get them outside, have them finish potting, and then the potty training aspect of that takes place outside, so that when you bring the puppy inside, you know that they're empty.
Right, right.
My puppy, as I said, pees today, this just a little while ago, she peed 4 times. And she doesn't have a urinary tract infection. She's healthy.
Right.
It's just what she does. And she poops twice, and I know this because I've been asking my clients to do this, and it's super helpful, so I did it myself. I just have a notebook, and it's a pee and poo diary. Every day when she poops, I write down when she eats and when she poops and when she pees. And it's really easy when you do that to see the correlation. Oh, she ate at 8, and some puppies will poop at 8:10, 8:05, 8:10. This puppy poops. If I feed her at 8, she's going to poo right more around the half an hour to 45-minute range. It can be 45 minutes to an hour, but that's what I'm talking about watching.
Right.
And knowing that because this is a newbie to me, well, I don't know that she just has one pee. So she pees, calm, praise, good potty. Mm-hmm. And then when a dog potties, when you think they're empty, Potty Training 101 says we deliver a valuable food treat in an excited manner, and then we engage in play. So it's kind of like when they're in that act of sniffing and finding a place to go potty, we humans are walking around. You can't stand still because your dog will stand still next to you. And when you move their thighs, their back legs, that's what gets them to potty. So you gotta move around. Oh my gosh. I used to just stand outside and walk around in a circle, and I thought, my neighbors must just think, what the heck is she doing? Because I'd walk around in a circle, and I'd stop and turn and go the other direction, and just kind of, if the puppy was interested in something, you know, keeping its attention, not on the bush. I'm very bland. There's nothing going on here. I'm just moving. As soon as I see pee, good pee, or actually I say good potty, not very excited. Just telling her what she's doing while she's doing it.
Excellent.
So I got 3 pees and 2 poops. And then after the second poop, now, yay, good potty.
Oh, that's great.
I play with her. She gets food treats. So what the dog learns is, oh, wait a minute. If I hurry up and go potty outside, mommy turns on. Games happen. Food treats happen. What you don't want to do is have your puppy or dog pee and just do a quickie pee and then bring them inside and treat them. A friend of mine did that, and her dogs go outside and they pee once and they come inside and get the treat. And then they go to someplace else in the house and they pee and they poo.
Oh, that's not good. Oh, that's so not good.
So treat delivery should happen outside after they potty, because the idea is, oh, if I hurry up and potty, mommy or daddy will play with me. I'll get a food treat and I'll get to be outside, because lots of dogs like to be outside sniffing around.
Right.
It's important that you do that on a leash, because especially a puppy can get really distracted. So you can leash it and just walk around and around. Come on, come on, come on. And as soon as, again, as soon as potty happens, if you have a fenced area, the leash can come off and play happens. If you don't have a fenced area, you can stop walking in circles and then take out your squeaky toy and your food treats from your pockets and then engage the dog
or the
puppy. And it makes training really fast again.
And it makes
when you mark
sense.
It down.
Yeah. It really makes sense. And if you're doing that diary thing, then you actually know what you're dealing with, right?
Yep.
Because you know,
exactly.
Right? Different dogs do different things.
Yep. And today I thought, when I came upstairs to do this, I thought, wait a minute. Did she poo after she ate lunch? Well, I know I wrote down she ate at noon. Oh, she actually pooed this time at 1:30. Oh, okay, great. Okay. Mm. So good to know, because she just ate and now I know I have a good hour and a half. So I'm good. So this dog is my puppy, and lots of puppies, I think, should be on a feeding schedule of 3 times a day. You can make sure that you're giving your dog the appropriate amount of food, that they don't have to compete for it. My puppy happens to have a lot of whiskers around her face. It's really interesting. And when she was at my sister's being fostered, they found out that she didn't like to eat out of a deep bowl, because it's probably because it was tickling her whiskers. So they gave her a flatter bowl and she ate fine. So that's another consideration in your dog, you know. I know dogs that don't necessarily like to eat that have collar or tags on their collar and a metal bowl, because it clanks and they don't like the sound.
Yep.
I know dogs that don't like to eat if you put the bowl in a corner. Like, hey, I can't see who's coming behind me, so I'm not going to eat. All kinds of consideration. Yeah, it's fascinating.
I mean, they're little creatures. I think that's one of the things that we forget is, you know, we think, oh, they're just a dog. Well, you know, they're creatures. They have peculiarities just like we do.
And I'll tell you what, this is funny. My little puppy, I have to admit, I'm looking from side to side. She's weird. She's a little weirdo. And I think that's why my sister named her after me. Because the more I get to know this dog, it's like, yeah, you're weird. Wait a minute.
Wait a minute. But she is a beautiful little pup.
Oh, she's fabulous.
Absolutely
she's great.
Gorgeous.
Some other things about pottying to remember. When your puppy wakes up from a nap, they're going to go pee. You have to take them out right away. After they've been laying down, chewing on something, you have to take them right outside and go potty. They'll probably have to go potty then. If they've been involved in active play, running around, chasing a ball or doing something, as soon as you're done with that and they go from one activity to the next, that's when you'll see them kind of slowing down and sniffing and, you know, oops, pick them up and take them outside. Or if you happen to have a door, you open up the door and clap your hands, get them to go outside. So we have wake up from naps, they have to go. When they're done chewing, they have to go. When they're playing actively, they have to go. After they're done eating, with your potty diary, it will tell you whether they're in the 5 to 10 minute range or if they're more 45 minutes to an hour. Again, when they're involved from one activity to another, that's time that they have to go. So that's why I said I've been standing up a lot. I've outside a lot, because when my puppy goes, again, she goes at least 2 to 3 times and it takes a little bit for her to go. So get on my jacket and a cup of coffee and these last couple of days.
Be prepared to be out there for a little
while.
And
walking around. But the more I do this, the shorter that time will be. And pretty soon she'll ring the bell and go outside and I won't have to worry about it. So this kind of effort on my part, I'm a little tired. No big deal. It's worth it in the end, because I really like my carpets and I don't need pee
and
everywhere.
And it's true that if you put the effort in the beginning, generally in a lot of things, if you put the effort in the beginning, then it's kind of smooth sailing. after that. So
makes it a lot easier.
Yeah.
So this is, you know, what I, in the very beginning, talking about setting yourself up for having the puppy. Mm-hmm. And that is the areas, your equipment that you use, what kind of food you're going to feed, making sure that everybody in the house is on board. Because trust me, if there's somebody that isn't on board having this dog, they're not going to be talked into it. Oh, don't worry, they'll fall in love with it later. That's not a good precedent to set. Really, everybody needs to be on board, because I say this, hey, it takes a village. You know, I'm preoccupied right now, but I know she's being watched by somebody, and if something happened, if she got stuck somewhere or something right. happened, that there'd be, you know, my husband's there to kind of watch that.
Right.
Which
right.
is important. We certainly yeah. have to keep them safe. So after we have the setup and the food and all that stuff, then now we get them home and we're feeding them and taking them outside. And the behaviors that I've already started working on, and I think that one of the most important things to start right away is handling exercises. And that is holding your puppy's feet, manipulating each one of their little nails, mm-hmm. Looking in both of their ears. Mm-hmm. It should never be a struggle. This mm-hmm. is, your handling exercises are never done when this dog or puppy, or we're just talking about puppies today, are in their active play mode. This isn't the time to do that. This isn't grabbing a paw and thinking, oh, I didn't know, grabbing. This is controlled, calm.
Right.
Holding on to their nails means, or manipulating their nails means, you actually, one hand holds on to their little elbow, so that when the other hand is manipulating each nail, if the puppy decides to try to pull their leg away, they can't, because you're mm-hmm. holding their little elbow. Mm-hmm. So maybe it tickles or it feels weird. I don't know if it tickles.
Yeah,
if it feels weird in the beginning, whatever it feels like to the dog, I just want them to get used to the fact that people are going to be manipulating their nails and clipping their nails pretty much the rest of their life. So have those clippers already purchased and at home, because I want to introduce this puppy to these clippers immediately. They have no idea what they mean.
Right.
Lots of dogs are frightened by clippers because they make a weird sound, because they've been, the nails were cut too short and they bled, and I know that is painful, and they can have that negative association. But in the very beginning, the puppy has no idea what it means. And what a perfect, I mean, they're a blank slate. Once you get them used to having their hand or their paws held, I'll just show them the clippers and put the clippers up against their little nails. And in this case, I can have somebody holding the elbow, and then I'm holding one hand, I'm manipulating the nail, and the other hand I have the clippers, and it's just the very end, clip. Mm-hmm. And it's no big deal.
Right.
And so I did this puppy's nails, and she was sitting on my lap with her back against my chest, and I was holding on to, and the sun was on her tummy, and she was half falling, that little bulbous tummy in the sunshine, and I'm just clipping her nails. It's like, good Lord.
Yeah.
And this, how lovely this is. My sister and her team already started handling exercises from the time these babies were born.
That's great.
They looked in their ears. Another aspect is making sure you guys at home are as well, putting your fingers inside their mouth, because they're teething. That's why they're chewing so much. So putting your fingers inside between their lip and their teeth, their lip and their gums, on the outside and then on the inside in their mouth, and making, again, going nice and slow, rubbing their teeth line on their gums is very soothing to them when certainly done the right way. This isn't grabbing your dog and opening up its jaws. You might just a little finger once in a while, just getting them used to it. This also desensitizes them to hands in their mouth, and they learn how hard they can bite down on a person before it's unacceptable. Dogs, this is called bite inhibition, and puppies learn this really, really young. And it's how we can help them learn that people are fragile and don't bite down so hard. So if a puppy does, we simply do something like, ow! And lots of times they'll stop
right.
and look at you like, oh, what just happened?
Right.
And then that's the point where we can say, give them direction,
right.
easy. And then you praise them, good, you know, be easy with your mouth, or gentle.
Right.
Whatever word your family decided to use.
And, you know, I can speak from personal experience from the vantage point of having taken a dog in, adopted a dog from a rescue situation where she was not handled. So she does not like anybody touching her feet. To actually get her nails clipped is a major, major ordeal. She doesn't like people putting their fingers in her mouth. I mean, she none of those things are okay because none of them started until after she was already, you know, 6 months old. And, you know.
Well, that doesn't mean, and I've helped a lot of dogs who the people thought, I've actually had a vets send me clients who they're like, this dog will not let us trim its nails.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, and it's not every case, of course, but you can work through that, I think, pretty easily. The dog doesn't have to necessarily like it, but we can teach them to accept this thing and to settle and recondition them to understand that it doesn't mean you're going to be held to the ground and this horrible thing is going to happen to you. Nope. There's ways to condition them. We attach something positive. At the same time, we introduce the clippers to their feet. And with some dogs, it's simply the clippers are in the same room. And when you pick up the clippers, the dog leaves.
Mm-hmm.
You go, okay, now you know where you're starting, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
With my baby has no idea what they mean, so I'm going to teach her what they mean. Those dogs who have already had a negative association, we can start by, hey, they're on the table, and the dog is in the comfortable, comes back into the room, and you can just pick them up and, you know, squeeze them, show them to her, put them back down. The clippers picking up doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to touch you. And then we're working incrementally. Then when they go, oh, that doesn't mean much. Now when you're petting her, you have the clippers in your hand. And she goes, oh, that's no big deal. And then you're petting her, and they're starting to touch the side of her shoulder, and then her forearm, and then across the top of her foot. And then pretty soon we touch the bottom of her foot. And these little progressions that lead to her going, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
It's not And
it's about patience, again.
It's about patience.
It's about
very
patience.
Well said, you bet. Yep. And it's about equipment as well. Some dogs accept a Dremel or a little filer.
Right.
Lots other dogs will only accept clippers. So there are options in which one. But either way, desensitizing them to that or, in your case, counter-conditioning because they had a negative association.
Yep. Yeah, we're obviously, Cola and I are going to need it. Another visit from Kelly. I'm just saying.
No problem.
I know, right?
Yeah.
So continue on.
All right.
This is fascinating information.
I'm glad.
Really, it is.
I'm
love
hoping.
This.
This is
great.
Thank you. And trust me, I know it is not easy. I've told people, my clients, hey, congratulations on your puppy. Hope you're not busy for, 4 to 5 months.
I know, right? I mean, you think it's a couple of nights maybe, right? No. Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
This is, I don't do outdoor dogs. I mean, there are some dogs that are indeed outdoor dogs, but most dogs I don't think are outdoor dogs. They're social creatures. They're supposed to be inside with us. And it's easy, I think. And it's, so the, again, like we said, setting this kind of precedent for my puppy is going to make it really easy for her life and our life as we go forward. And again, if you're adopting an older dog or a puppy that in these handling exercises, you notice, you know, I touch my dog on the back and I start going down its hip. And it stops or turns around and looks at me, or, you know, I can tell it doesn't want me to touch me there. Or write that down. Make a mark. That is something to work on. Mm-hmm. So it's not something to say, oh, she just doesn't like her tail touch. Nobody do that. I think, oh, she doesn't like her tail touch. I'm going to make her like her, or at least accept to have her tail touched.
Yes.
Because people touch tails and
feet
and all
and
that kind of stuff.
You want your dog to succeed. right?
Oh, you want your dog to well succeed. Said, Candace. That was.
God, you'd think you'd put me up to it.
Good girl. If I had a clicker,
do I get a treat? Do I get a treat?
I do use clickers. We can talk about what clickers are, but it just marks the behavior. It says, yes, you just did something right for a reward.
That's great. Yeah.
When you said that, I would have clicked you and given you your reward.
Oh, I love it. A piece of chocolate, please. I don't want that dried liver stuff, okay? Yeah. That's for cola.
Well, and that's a really good point. You have to, as far as what rewards your puppy or your dog's accepts, not all dogs like beef liver or chicken. Mm-hmm. Or mm-hmm. I know a dog that will not eat cheddar cheese, but you give her any white cheese, yoo-hoo! I know, right? I have a dog who used to be in class who would only work for frozen peas and carrots. What? Wait, what? No chicken? No, I don't really like chicken. So
frozen peas and carrots.
I know, crazy.
What is up with that?
Hey, just like people, you know, we
say
we have different likes and tastes, and so do dogs. Yeah. But it is important to know what reinforcers.
Yes.
You know, if your dog likes its food, but in a high-stress environment, they'll probably tell you to take the food and go someplace else. But in that environment, they might go, man, like we were talking about last time, chicken. Mm-hmm. I'll do anything for that.
Right.
So
please give me that chicken.
It is important to understand what the reinforcers are.
Yep.
So you can work faster and get to your goal a little bit quicker, like you were talking earlier. You know, sometimes we want this to happen fast.
Yeah.
So why not use the tools that can make it happen faster?
Right.
Yeah.
So I saw on the video that Mia mm-hmm. came racing somewhere else in the yard to you. And I'm thinking, you've only had that dog for a week or so. How on earth did you do that?
Oh, that was day 3.
Oh, my word.
Yeah. So what I did was, I know that one of the things I have to teach this dog, besides what her name means, just means look at me,
right,
is I need to teach her name means look at me, these things that will keep her safe and alive. What stay is, don't move, stay or wait, and what come is. I mean, my gosh, isn't that huge? And then add another one, don't drag me down the leash. Or drag me down the street on the leash. And then the third one is don't jump on me. So those, you know, don't jump on me, don't drag me, and please come when called and save your life, right? That's what
exactly.
We want. So right away, I bring this puppy home, and I want to see what her reinforcers are. Not just food. She's highly food motivated, which is super great for me. Mm-hmm. But how does she respond to a squeaky or the crinkle of a pasta bag, a plastic bag? Some dogs right away go, oh, I know that means treats, mm-hmm. because people have opened up the treat bag and it sounds like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to see what she would do when I made these different sounds. And I would make different sounds like, or, mm-hmm. and she'd look at me when I'd make the clicky mm-hmm. sounds, but the whistling, no, not so much. And so I'm thinking, okay, what tools do I have? And I do have a squeaky. I like to use squeakies very sparingly, because this is going to sound weird. They're readily available. And if and when I'm out and about and I need my dog to come to me really quickly, there's probably going to be a squeaky around, right?
Yeah,
they're not solidly a super solid recall, it's always good to have your backup. So with this puppy, I thought, teaching an emergency recall, the very first thing is a pretty easy thing to do. What sound will she come to me for? What is she like? So the first day I just made this, it's a loud squeaky, and holy Toledo, that dog jumped around. What was that? Oh, hey, okay, good. Put that away. I'm not going to make that squeaky sound. She's got other ones in her toys that are just a squeak, 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 just a little squeaky, and she stops like, oh, and tries to squeak it, but it's faint.
Yeah.
Not anything like this really loud one.
Yeah.
And so I know when I squeak this loud one, this dog is, I'm guessing that she's going to run to me as fast as she can. And dang it, if it didn't work.
Wow.
She was out in the back sniffing around on one of her potty breaks and her play breaks. She's a bit of an independent puppy. She likes to kind of do her own thing and lay mm-hmm. outside by herself, which I just think is great.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't say anything when I did this. I simply turned my camera onto video and just went squeak, squeak with this squeaky sound loud. And that dog, you saw what she did.
She tore.
The bushes rattled and burning
she
rubber,
was like
sister.
A little race car. I know. Where's my mom? Where is she?
Oh, my gosh. And she came so fast.
Yeah, she did.
And so as she's getting closer and closer and closer, and this is in, I don't know, the 10 to 15 feet range, mm-hmm. that's when I start telling her, good come.
Nice.
Because she has no idea. I haven't used come with her. She doesn't know what that means. But she is orienting. She's coming to me pretty fast when I do that squeaky. So I'm going to make that squeaky sound. And as she's coming to me, I'm telling her, good come. And in my hand, I have the really high value reward for her. So the second she got there, I put this sweet potato chew. Actually, I made it. My first night, my sister's like, really? You're baking for your dog? Yes, I am.
I love it.
Organic sweet potatoes. And I just cut them up and put them in my dehydrator or your oven mm-hmm. on low. And they get to, I don't know, about a half hour. Mm-hmm. And she loves these things.
Excellent.
Making sure that I'm not giving her too many because, mm-hmm. you know, it's a carbohydrate and there's sugars. So I want to kind of not always give her the same thing. I want her to just go, geez, I don't know what mom's giving me, but whatever it is, it's going to be
dynamite.
Yeah.
Yes.
So when I've only made the squeak sound in a week. I've only made it maybe four times. Nope. Yes. Three times. I almost had to do it this morning, but I didn't. I want this to be something that she doesn't hear very often.
Right.
And it starts out, there's a protocol. We do it. We squeak, and then we do it another in a half an hour. We do that three times a day, and then we do that for like 3 days, and then we skip a day. And so there's a whole protocol. And then mm-hmm. we skip a couple days, and it's a couple mm-hmm. days. So now what you have is just like once every week, and it turns into once every 2 weeks. And then when you're going camping or whenever you're about, you make sure you take that thing that you made the squeaky sound with. And at the same time, hopefully you're training and conditioning your dog to come, but you have this emergency recall that the dog only associates the best things on the planet when it hears this sound. And good things happen when it hears this sound. The parties start. I mean,
yeah.
I had a Labrador all these years ago, and it was like, yeah, it likes squeakies and it likes stuff. And I said, is there any particular sound that the dog just really loves? And the owners looked at each other and they said, well, I tell you, every time we take out the cheese slicer from the drawer, the dog could be next door and it comes over and it's like, oh, so he got two cheese slicers and secured them together. And now he goes that, well, this was years and years ago, clink, 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 these little cheese slicers together. They had lots of property. This dog would come from acres away.
Miles away.
So knowing your reinforcers, knowing what motivates your dog is, and then so we have all these tools. We have reinforcers that we can pick and choose. We can say, here's your toys, here's your chewies, here's how we're going to reinforce you at this moment for this behavior. But when we kind of mix it up, the dogs, we know we have something they really like.
Yes,
we're
exactly.
probably going to give it to them because we're going to make training really easy, short, sweet, fun.
And fun.
And fun.
Yeah.
I need to make it fun because it should be fun.
Well, and if it's not fun, I mean, which one of us wants to keep engaging in activity that isn't fun?
Exactly.
You know? I mean, if there's a gun to my head, maybe, but you know, yeah, exactly.
So we have handling exercises, mm-hmm. Recalls are beginning to get your puppy to come to you. And mm-hmm. so whether you squeak something or sometimes you just go and your puppy will come to you right away, mm-hmm. make sure that in that time you reward them with calm praise and reward. You know,
calm.
Good. Tell them what they did right. What a good, mm-hmm. good baby, good come, mm-hmm. you did it, yay. Mm-hmm. I like to count at least 10 seconds. And I'll tell you, that's a long time to praise a puppy. Mm-hmm. You don't... not very excited because you don't want to amp them up, but you're just telling them what they did right in kind of a real punctuated way. There's a mm-hmm. lot of reinforcement, especially for recalls in the beginning, because you want them to think when they come into your personal space, good things happen.
Right.
It's always a good thing to be near the people who are calling me. And that's a great way to keep your dog safe. So this recalls. My puppy also sits a lot. It's just naturally what she does. So I'm just naming the things. When she lays down, mm-hmm. I tell her good down. Mm-hmm. When she sits, I tell her good sit. When she just shows up on her own just to say hi to me, I tell her good come.
Aww.
When she just looks at me in the eye, I tell her good watch. Because maintaining eye contact is just watch. Her name means what? When I say Mia, I just want her to make eye contact. Mm-hmm. And then I use my index finger to point at the, I actually touch the side of my eye, and because it helps them to orient to our eyes. And we say, watch, very calmly, shh, watch. I whisper a lot when I'm with dogs because I swear they lean in like, what are you saying? We don't have to be loud. They can hear. Not yeah. all, but yeah. for the most, that's right. so funny. I have two deaf dogs.
They also lip read.
Well, my dogs at this point, they hand signals, they yeah. get all that stuff, so we're fine. But so to work on the beginnings of a sit and stay, and a hand signal is like an extended arm out in front of you, and your fingers are together, and your palm, like you're saying, stop. Mm-hmm. So right, sit and stay, making sure that you're using a hand signal.
Yep.
Because we're going to use hand signals with dogs. It's a great thing to do. Yep. It increases the probability of the behavior happening because we have the verbal command and we have the hand signal, and then we have the reward. So making yep. sure that we have hand signals yep. is important.
So, and I've noticed the hand signal yep. is really working. Like
lovely.
With Cola, I tell her to
Super.
Stay,
Super.
And I use my hand down right mm-hmm. in front of her face. I say,
Perfect.
Stay, and
Good.
She stays, and I'll walk out to the yard and when the lights come on. And my hand is usually behind my back and flat out
Perfect.
So that she knows it's still stay. And mm-hmm. then I will turn around, and I will actually motion for her to come as I say, okay, uh-huh. come on now, let's go potty.
Super.
And yeah, it's amazing how
Super.
Well it's working, Kelly.
Hey, this next time when you do it, when you're walking yep. away from her and you're telling her stay, and when you decide this is where you're going to stop and turn around, mm-hmm. don't call her immediately.
Okay.
Give her 1 second, 2 seconds, because you might be conditioning her that when you stop,
right.
you're going to turn around and you're going to call her right away, but not necessarily.
Exactly.
You get to turn around and just tell her, good, stay. The answer, it might be that you're just going outside to get some fresh air. She
yeah.
might not get to come out at all.
Yeah.
I mean, you're letting her out, but still, yeah. we don't want
I'm
her to know that.
That is the only reason I'm standing out there at midnight in the dark with the rain coming down, I guarantee you.
You're not just howling at the moon, Candace.
No, I do sometimes, but yeah, not so much.
Especially
when it's raining.
Yeah, that's been fun.
I know.
So we have the hand signals that are stay, mm-hmm. and I also like to use the word wait. For mm-hmm. me, stay means I ask the dog to do something. Sit, stay, down, stay. The other one is simply wait, just means don't go forward or don't go past a line.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I ask a dog to wait inside the house and I go through the door threshold, I just don't want them following me through the threshold. They can turn around and go back in the house, but just don't, the wait just means don't follow me. And those two things, stay and wait, oh my gosh, at the door, in your car, there's so many places in life that getting your dog to come to you is vital, and having mm-hmm. them stay where you need them to stay is vital and can save their life. So
exactly.
starting really early and being consistent. When you say stay, and you, I like to, I am asking my puppy to sit and stay, and she's at about, I'd say 5 seconds. She can hold it for 5 seconds while I'm about 2 feet away from her. Mm-hmm. So I'm controlling her. I've told her sit, stay. I have a hand signal. And about every three seconds, I tell her good stay and pop a food treat in her mouth and remind her with the hand signal stay, because the food treat doesn't mean the behavior is over.
Right.
I'm just rewarding her for doing something. So stay. Here's a little food treat. Stay. Pretty soon, I can increase the distance mm-hmm. that I am away from her. But when I increase the distance, I can't increase the time.
Right.
We were
right.
talking about the 4 D's of training. So
yep.
it's important. So baby puppies, we stay real close. We have them do behaviors that they can do in a very short period of time. And just like you said earlier, because we set them up for success.
Yeah.
So all these things are setting them up for success and for our minds and welfare as well.
Exactly.
Don't we? You know, when you have somebody come over, you don't want a dog jumping all over people or being fearful of them or biting them or, you know,
and
just
when
being
they're succeeding, that means you're happy.
Oh,
right?
Correct.
I mean, everybody's happy then, right?
Yeah. We all have the image of what that perfect dog looks like, you know,
and
how they behave. They're generally, you know, kind of Joe Cool kind of dogs that do what we want. Well, somebody had to teach them how to do that.
That's right.
Somebody had to put the time in. And, you know, it's fun and happy and it can be a good time. I'm already teaching my puppy something called targeting, which means I present something in it. Right now it's my hand, mm-hmm. and she touched my hand, and the second she touched it, I give her a reward. I'm clicking with her, so I click. The first day she touched my hand, I then started moving my hand farther away from her. She followed it. Now I'm like, oh, well, she's advanced. Now I have her touching something, going over on the other side of the room.
Wow.
And touching something and coming back. Now what I started doing, now that she knows how to do that or getting there, mm-hmm. now I have a small bath mat and I'm putting on the rug and teaching her, go to your rug.
Oh.
So now somebody in the future, somebody knocks on my door and I just tell her, go to your rug, stay,
mm-hmm.
right? She can
Amazing.
Go, and I can pick up that rug and move it anywhere. I can put it in the car. I can take mm-hmm. it with me to a friend's house.
Mm-hmm.
And she knows when I present, go to your rug, she
right.
knows to go to that spot. And again, oh my gosh, how many people want their dog not to misbehave at the front door?
No,
and it's
exactly.
pretty easy, sit, stay,
right.
on, go to your rug.
So, Kelly, I hate
Ma'am.
To inform you that the little green messages that are telling us that we're almost out of time are...
I saw that.
Yeah, I know. And, you know, I'm looking at the list here of things, and we got a lot of them done, right? Not all
But I think we did very well.
We did very well. But clearly, I'm going to have you back next week if you're willing to do that, because
yes.
I'd like to continue this, and you'll have had another week under your belt with Mia, so
absolutely,
you'll be able to give us even more information.
Yeah, please.
Oh, great. I'm so excited.
Love to do that.
And in the meantime, you can think about your contact information that you want to give out in case you're willing to do private, you know, lessons and stuff, because you know, some of us think maybe we know what we're doing, but then we start and it's like, oh, I don't really think I know what I'm doing. So
I think we're just going to set up an email, I think, at KCIW, and
we'll
they can just get in touch with them.
Or we'll talk about it and, you know.
I'd love to help you people.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And
and
Kelly is amazing. I mean, I just want to tell you that she is absolutely
amazing. Thank you, Candace. I love doing this.
So I want to thank my listeners for tuning in. Kelly and I have had several really great conversations, and feel free to go to our website, kciw.org, and look at our podcasts under our community. My guest today has been Kelly Hansen, dog trainer to the stars, as her husband loves to say. I don't know how many stars she's worked with here in Brookings, but she's pretty darn amazing. So we'll see you next week, Kelly. It's been
All
an
right.
absolute delight.
This
Thank is you. Candace Michelle from our community.